We're still hanging on to the last couple of seconds, I suppose, of the amazing Yantav of Lag BaOmer. So let's try to learn something very, very deep tonight. I want to thank my good friend Harry for helping me to put this shiur together. We kind of came up with this shiur together the other day. Some very new ideas and some very exciting ideas. So let's begin with what we hopefully know, the Gemara in Yavamis about the students of Rabbi Akiva. Source number one, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, 24,000 students, and they all passed away in a single time period. The Gemara doesn't explicitly say that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. The Gemara says they passed away between Pesach and Shavuos, and because they didn't treat each other with respect, and the world was left a desolate world. Again, we have a tradition, and there are many sources that indicate that they actually stopped dying on the 33rd day of the Omer, which is part of the celebration of Lag BaOmer. It was the end of that terribly tragic period. And then the Gemara tells us in the second line, in source number one, the middle of the line, At Shabbat Rabbi Akiva eats al Rabboseinu Shabidar. Now just picture this for a second, because according to the Chidah, one of the great Svardi Gaonim of the 1700s, the Chidah says this is what the celebration of Lag BaOmer is about. This is not our topic tonight, but just meditate on this idea for half a second. You just lost 24,000 students. Your whole world just collapsed. You pick yourself up and you just go on building. How does a person have such superhuman strength? But that's the story of Klal Yisrael. How many tzaddikim came to America, to Eretz Yisrael, to different parts of the world after World War II, having lost their families, having lost their chassidus, having lost their yeshivas, and immediately they went back to building. That's an unbelievably profound strength that the Jewish people have. And Rabbi Akiva did that. Rabbi Akiva picked himself up. He traveled south. He found for himself five students, Ushana Alehem, and he taught them. And again, the Chidah writes in a tshuva, one of his shaylos and tshuvos, that the celebration of Lag BaOmer is a celebration of Rabbi Akiva's strength to continue trying. And according to some, that trying took place on Lag BaOmer. That was on the day they stopped dying, was the same day that Rabbi Akiva started rebuilding, which is unbelievable. But the Gemara tells us that he found five students, and they were, and they have them numbered for you in source number one, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. Haim, haim, ha'amidu Torah ososha. And it was these five great tzaddikim, these great tanaim, students of Rabbi Akiva, who would establish and rebuild Torah at that very difficult time period. The five students of Rabbi Akiva. Now, I want to be honest. There are other versions, not in the Gemara, but there are other versions in Chazal, in the Medrash, in several places, that Rabbi Akiva maybe had seven students. But tonight we're going to focus on the five that the Gemara talks about and the five that the Arizal quotes, again, slightly different than the Gemara, as we'll see in a minute. And I want to think about these five students. The Arizal lets us in on a very deep Kabbalistic secret. Okay, we're going swimming in the deep end tonight. So everyone, hold on to your seats. The Arizal and the Shahar HaKavanos in source number two. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze a little something out of it and try to understand. The Arizal tells us that every time period, whether it's a regular Shachris, Mincha, or Maariv, which is not so regular, certainly not if you're the Arizal, or Yomim Tovim, or Shabbos, or different time periods throughout the calendar year, there are different Shemos of Hashem, different names of God, that govern and somehow we connect to during that time period. So what is the Shem, what is the name of Hashem that connects us to Lag BaOmer? So he tells us in source number two, in the Shahar Kavanos for Pesach, in the Drushe Pesach, Drush Yud Beis, he says, we'll try to read inside, Uvavo Yom Lag LaOmer, Oz Nisgal LaKatnus Beis Shal Ima, Shu Shem Aleph Chaf Dalid Tes Mem. Okay, I'm not even going to try to translate the first part of the line, but he tells us the name for Lag BaOmer are those five letters, Aleph Chaf Dalid Tes Mem. Now, if you'll say, that's not a name of God that I've ever seen before, that's okay. There's a lot of names of God that we probably haven't seen before if we learn Kabbalistic works. Where does this name come from? So the Arizal tells us, continuing where it's bolded, V'hine hu chilof shem elokim, asher hu b'chinas rachamim besod elokim chai. This is some type of transformed version of a name that we're very familiar with, which is the name Elokim. What exactly happened to the letters Aleph and Lamed and Hey and Yud and Mem? So what happened, says the Arizal, is that the letters were each moved back one letter. So for example, you take the letter Aleph and you try to move it back one letter, well, there's nothing before Aleph. So Aleph remains an Aleph. What letter comes before Lamed? the letter Chaf. So you can see in the name for Lag BaOmer, the second letter, instead of being a Lamed, is a Chaf. What letter comes before He of Elohim is Dalet. The letter before Yud is Tes. And the letter before Mem Sofit is a regular Mem, so Mem also stays the same. Okay, that's how the Arizal explains this name, which again is somehow connected to Lag BaOmer, Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, Mem. So really the three middle letters are changing over, and the first and last letter, the Aleph and the Mem, remain the same. Says the Arizal, this name is known as the Shem Bitachon. It's a name that has a lot to do with faith, trusting in Hashem, Bitachon in Hashem. He says the gematria of this name, let's add up the name, Aleph, Chav, Dalet, Tes, Mem, is 74. And it's hinted to in a pasuk that will probably be familiar to us in the third line, Bitchu b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, Adei Ad. Ad is gematria 74, and that's the gematria of this name, Aleph, Chav, Dalet, Tes, Mem. Okay, it's called the name of Bitachon. Lag BaOmer has a lot to do with Bitachon. Maybe it was the trust of Rabbi Akiva to keep trying when Hashem took away his world. What exactly is the trust that's demanded from us in Lag BaOmer? A lot to think about there. But let's keep going. Why is this the name of Lag BaOmer? Well, which three letters are changing? The three middle letters. The Lamed, the He, and the Yud. Each one got moved back one letter. And what are the three new letters that emerged? Chaf, Dalet, and Tes. What's the gematria of Chaf, Dalet, and Tes, says the Arizal? 33. So he writes, where it's bolded, second to last line, Gimel Osios Emtsayos, these three middle letters, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, Heim Begematria Gal, or Lag, it's gematria 33, and this is the name that's connected to Lag BaOmer. Okay? What we're going to do with this tonight, we'll have to see. But this is the name that's connected to Lag BaOmer. This transformed name of Elohim. Again, Elohim is a name of Midas Hadin. It's a name of God's strict judgment. And when we move it back a letter, when we move it away from Elohim, we're softening the din. We're making it into a name of Rachamim. And Lag BaOmer clearly is a day of transformation, a day where we go from the Avelus of the first 32 days of the Omer to great celebration and to great Simcha, the Simcha of Rabbi Akiva, the Simcha of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, etc. Okay, continues the Arizal in another paragraph in source number 3. The Arizal then says the following. This was really the springboard for tonight's shiur. The Arizal says these five letters somehow correspond to the five students that Rabbi Akiva found to rebuild his world. He writes, we're just going to read where it's bolded in source number 3. Samach acher kach Rabbi Akiva es chamisha talmidav hagedolim. He found these five great students, mibachinas he gvuros de gadlus, corresponding to the five gvuros, Shehem keneged chamisha osios, aleph chav dalet tes mem, shehem rachamim. Somehow the five students of Rabbi Akiva is somehow connected to the five letters of this name that we were just introduced to by the Arizal. And he tells us who the five students are. It's slightly different than the list of the Gemara. The order is slightly different. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Nechemya. What is consistent about the Gemara and the Arizal is that they both have in the fourth slot Rabbi Shimon. And since Lag BaOmer is the Hilula de Rishon Bar Yochai, since Lag BaOmer is the celebration, the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, perhaps the birthday of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Aruch HaShulchan says it was the day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai left the cave, it was the day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed the secrets of Pnimiyas HaTorah, of Sodos HaTorah to the world. So I'd like to try to explore this idea. What do I mean this idea? If the five letters, Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, and Mem, correspond to the five students, and Lag BaOmer is the day of celebration of Rishon Bar Yochai, and both the Gemara and the Arizal, both, even with different arrangements of who the students are, they both have Rabbi Shimon in the fourth slot, so then I guess Rabbi Shimon corresponds to the fourth letter. And what is that fourth letter in this name, Aleph, Chav, Dalet, Tes, and Mem? It's Tes, it's letter Tes. So I want to try to understand why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is so deeply connected to the letter Tes. And we can understand maybe a deep secret into the world and the whole, the essence of who Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is. Okay, what is the secret of the letter Tes? That's what we're going to learn tonight. The title of tonight's shiur, I struggled to come up with the title, but I think it captures it somewhat. Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the revealer of good. Let's learn about the letter Tes. What's the secret of the letter Tes? So there's an amazing Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama. Tell me if you ever had this experience. Rabbi Yeshua tells us in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Haroa tes b'chalomo. Did you ever have a dream where you saw the letter tes? Anyone? No one? Me neither. Okay. However, if you go to sleep tonight, you know, they say what you think about during the day is what you dream about at night. So hopefully we're all going to go to sleep. You'll give me a call. You'll send me an email. Moshe Tzvi, I had a dream about the letter tes. So I'll tell you, that's great news. As the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Daf Nun Hei, Haroa tes b'chalomo. If you see a tes in a dream, simin yafalo. That's great. That's a good sign. Why is that a good sign? Says the Gemara, my taima. Why is that a good sign? I lema mishum dichsiv tov. If you'll say the letter tes stands for the word tov, that which is good. Ema, so I'll say to you, v'teteisiyo b'matateya hashmed. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says that I will sweep you away with a broom of shmad, of destruction. So tes sometimes is in the context of what? Of a destructive tes. Tes is not always good. So the Gemara answers, chad tes ka'amrinam. Well, that word, mitateya, riteteisiyo, that has tes twice. So if you have a double tes, maybe that's bad. But a single tes is good. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, what about a very tragic pasuk in Megillas Eicha, when the pasuk tells us in the first parak of Eicha, tum asa bishu leha, that she has her tuma, her filth, on her skirt, on her hem. So the Gemara says, well, tes beis ka'amrinam. Here, you have to have a tes and a beis next to each other, like the word tov, for it to be good. And there it just says, tum asa, so tes by itself sometimes is bad. Okay. So then the Gemara says, well, I'll show you a tes beis, that's bad. Let's go a little further in Eicha. We're picking some very broken psukim in Jewish history. Eima, what about the pasuk in the second parak of Eicha that says, Tavu va'aretz she'areha, its gates have sunken into the ground, the destruction of Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. There you have a tes and a beis right next to each other, and that's a very tragic pasuk. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what, let's start again. Ella, ha'wel u'pasuk v'ha'kasuv l'tova t'chila. Since tes, when we first meet tes, not somewhere in Eicha or the Navi Yeshaya, where do we first encounter tes? The Gemara says, when we first meet tes is in the context of that which is good. Why? Shemi bereishis ad vayara lokim asaor ki tov loksiv tes. Where's the first tes of the Torah? It's not in the first pasuk, it's not in the second pasuk, it's not in the third pasuk, it's in the fourth pasuk. In the fourth pasuk, and it says, "Vayar lokim asaor." God saw the awesome light with which He created the world, the original light of creation, the light which Rashi tells us had to be hidden away because it was such a powerful light it could be abused. It's a light that we tap into on Chanukah, and it's a light that we tap into on Lag BaOmer. That's the first test in the Torah. The first test in the Torah is "Vayar lokim asaor ki tov." So the shorish, the root of the letter test, as we first encounter test anywhere in Torah literature, is the word tov. So therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, if you see a tes in your dream, it's a good sign. Tes is the essence of that which is good. In fact, it's even more beautiful than that. Because the word tov, what number word is it in the Torah? Says the Bnei Yisachar in source number 5, from the beginning of the Torah, Me'aschalas ha-Torah bereishis ad tevas tov, lamed beis tevos. There are 32 words up until the 33rd word of the Torah, which is tov. 33rd word of the Torah is the word tov. Well, the 33rd word, that's a good number for us on a day like Lag BaOmer. So therefore, when we come to that first test of the Torah, tov, ayar lekim asaor ki tov, and it's the 33rd day, right, we start to see, maybe there's something, maybe Rishon Bar Yochai has something to do with the letter tes. And again, that's what we're trying to argue tonight. That the five letters of the name of Hashem, some secret Kabbalistic name of Hashem that corresponds to Lag BaOmer, the fourth letter is the tes, and the fourth student of Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Shimon. And maybe somehow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will help us to understand, again, what this Tov is about. Again, Vayar Lokim Asaor Ki Tov. We're not going to go into it so much tonight, but I can tell you for sure that the Sfarim talk a lot about how that Or is very much connected to the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the bonfires that have been lighting up Eretz Yisrael and many parts of Chutz La'aretz for the last 24 hours. The great revelation of Or, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is called in the Zohar the Butzina Kedisha, the holy lamp, the illuminated one, a shining tzaddik, a person who's very much connected to the light, to the inner light of Torah. And of course, many discuss as well that from Lag BaOmer until Shavuos, as we enter now the final stretch of Svirah, how many days are there? There are 17 days, which is the gematria of the word Tov. So we're very much connected. Lag BaOmer has a lot, apparently, to do with this magical word Tov. But we need to understand it a little bit deeper. Again, the first time you encounter the word Tes in the Torah, the letter Tes in the Torah, is this word Tov. We have a rule. It's an important rule to pay attention to. The first time you see a letter in the Torah, however it appears in that first expression, that reveals to us the essence of that letter. It's true for concepts as well. The first time you see a concept being used in the Torah, an idea in the Torah, a word in the Torah, that's also the root of that concept. This idea is revealed to us by Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in several places. He writes in source number 6 and 7, both by Rosh Chodesh Kislev and Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. We'll read source number 7. V'hu kamosha amarnu, Rav Tzadok says, this is a rule to be mindful of. D'bechol makom os sheniska rishona b'torah, sham hu shoresh ha'os. If you want to get to the root of a particular letter, so go find the first time it appears. You want to understand the same thing's true again. A concept, go to the first time it appears. A character first appears in the Torah. So see how we meet them that first time. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu also. Vatero so ki tov, he's also tov. Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot to do with Rishon Baruch Hai. Again, we're not going to go into it tonight. But just be mindful of this idea. The first tov of the Torah, the first test of the Torah. So it seems to us, again, from this Gemara, you see a test in a dream. Test is the epitome of all that is good. The problem is, when the Gemara first started looking at the letter test, it was mamish the opposite. The Gemara thought Tess might be one of the worst letters. Tess is associated with utter destruction. Tess is associated with Tumah. Tess is associated with the Chorban Yerushalayim. Tess seems to, initially, when the Gemara was first trying to figure out what to make sense of the letter, told the Gemara, no, Tess is Tov, because the first time we see Tess is by the word Tov. But the Gemara entertained the very opposite when it started off. And therefore, we have to study Tess a little bit more deeply. Because it could be that on the surface, Tess is not so good. And where do we see that the letter Tess is not so good? So let's focus for a moment on some of the negative associations with the letter Tess. If you look at the names of the Shvatim, you'll notice that there are two letters that don't appear in the names of the Shvatim. The truth is there are more than two letters, but there are two letters that are noticeably missing from the names of the Shvatim. The letter Ches and the letter Tess. And why is that? The Baal HaTurim tells us another amazing secret, that when Yaakov gathered his children on his deathbed, and he wants to give them a bracha, and he's hopeful that maybe now my family has it all worked out, because my grandfather's family, Avraham, he had a Yishmael. And my father, Yitzchak, he had an Esav. And Yaakov now looks at his own children and wonders, are my children going to be tzaddikim? Are they going to live a life of righteousness? Vayikra Yaakov Abanov, says the Baal HaTurim in source number 8, Shebikesh legalos lehem haketz. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end of days, the secret of Mashiach. He wanted to tell his children how to bring the Geula, when the Geula is coming. And as Rashi famously tells us, based on a Medrash, v'nista mimenu. And all of a sudden, Yaakov went blank. He's about to reveal big secrets, and all of a sudden, he lost it. He wants to reveal Mashiach, and it disappears. And Yaakov panics, says the Gemara, says the Medrash. Says the Baal HaTurim, Amar Yaakov, Shema yesh bachem chet. Maybe Hashem doesn't want me to reveal such a secret to my children because maybe they're sinners. Maybe they're not as righteous as I thought. They're not perfect. Shimon and Levi got themselves into a bit of trouble. Yehuda got himself into a bit of trouble. Yosef was assumed to be a bit of trouble, at least by the rest of the brothers. So Yaakov was very nervous. Maybe my children have sin, and therefore I'm not able to reveal to them the hope for Geula. Amrulo, they said to him, Tidaktek b'shem oseinu v'lo timsa b'hem b'chin os yoscheit. Look at our names, and you will not see any chet. You will not see ches, and you will not see tes. You ever think about that? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, there's no ches, and there's no tes. V'amar lahem gam ein b'hem os yosketz. So he says back to them, there's also no kuf and there's no tzadi. Ketz means the end of days. There's also no geula. Right? So Yaakov says, I'm not sure what's going to come from this. I don't see ches and tes. I don't see chet, the essence of sin, or the letters ches and tes, but I also don't see kuf and tzadi. Yitzchak has Tzadi, Yaakov has Kuf. These other letters we find by the Avos, right? But he says, I don't see them by the future. I don't see them by the Shvat. So you see that the letters Ches and Tes, as the Baal HaTurim is explaining to us, are really letters which are the essence of sin. People wonder sometimes. We explained this once a couple months back. I don't remember what shir it was in. But we explained how the word chet, even though we spell it ches tes aleph, the aleph is not really an essential part of the word. When we pronounce the word, when you say the word chet, you don't really hear the aleph. The aleph is silent. The aleph represents that silent connection to Hashem, that even a Jew at the time that he sins, he's still connected to the aleph. The aleph is the possibility of tshuva. That's why people make fun of the comment of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, where the Shulchan Aruch says we shouldn't eat nuts, egozim, on Rosh Hashanah. Because egoz is gematria chet. Egoz is gematria 17. And chet is gematria ches, tes, aleph, 18. So the answer is no. Chet is really gematria 17. The ches and the tes are the destructive letters of chet. Aleph is a beautiful letter. Aleph is echad. Aleph is Hashem. Aleph is alufo shel olam, the master of the universe, ultimate oneness. So the letters ches and tes have a very negative connotation. So I don't understand. Is tes a good letter or is tes a bad letter? Is tes the very essence of sin? Or is tes vayara lokim asaor ki tov? It's the light of creation. It's the ultimate, most pure goodness we encounter in the whole world. Every month has a letter that's associated with it. So if tes is so good, what month do you think it's associated with? Says the B'nai Yisachar, it's really based on the Sefer Yetzirah, an early Kabbalistic work, in source number 9. The Sefer Yetzirah tells us that the letter Ches, as you can see bolded, is connected to the month of Tammuz. Tammuz is not a very good month. And the letter Tes, Os Tes, as you can see, is connected to what? To the month of Av. Av? Tes? I thought Tes was supposed to be Tov. Av? Chorban Bayis Rishon, Chorban Bayis Sheni, and I'll go a step further. What day of the month of Av is the Chorban? The Tes, right? Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. Right? So is Tes a good number or a really, 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 really bad number? It's hard for us to understand. Is it a good letter? It's a bad letter? Is 9 a good number? Is 9 a bad number? We also know that Arizal tells us that every month has a Shevet that's connected to it. What Shevet is connected to the month of Tammuz and Av? Arizal tells us it's based on the way that they traveled in the Midbar. Since Tammuz is the fourth month that corresponds to Reuven, who traveled fourth, and Av, which is the fifth month, corresponds to Shimon. Interesting, we're learning about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? Shevet Shimon is a complicated Shevet. Every month has an action that's associated with it. The action for the month of Chodesh Av is Shmiah, also connected to Shimon. Right? So on the one hand, we're learning that the letter Tes, again, is such a beautiful, powerful letter, a shining letter, the epitome of that which is good, Siman Yafalo if you dream about a Tes. On the other hand, it's Chet, it's Chodesh Av, it's Shevet Shimon, a complicated Shevet. And yet at the very same time, we're familiar, we've heard the idea from the Medrash and Eicha. The Medrash and Eicha tells us a story. There was an Arab who once turned to a Jew, Medrash in the beginning of Eicha, there was an Arab who turned to a Jew, and he said, you should unfasten your plow, and you should take the yoke off of your cow. So the Jew says, why? So the Arab says, how the Arab knew this, I don't know. He said, because the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. Somehow this Arab knew, Ruach HaKodesh, the Beis HaMikdash has just been destroyed. And this Jew took, can't work on such a day, so he unfastened his cow and his plow. And then a minute later, the Arab says to him, okay, you can refasten your cow, you can refasten your plow. You can go back to work. So he says, I don't understand. I thought you said the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So he said, it's true, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but Mashiach was also just born. We've heard this idea, no? That Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av? That's also a tremendous paradox. So is Tisha B'Av the worst day of the year? Is Tes B'Av, the month Av, is again the letter for the month of Av, is the letter Tes? The 9th day, Tes of Av? Is that the worst day? Is that a day of tremendous hope? A day of tremendous good? And like so many things in Yiddishkeit, what becomes obvious to us when you delve into the sugya is that there's a surface level and there's a pnimius. Sometimes there's things on the surface that seem to be very, very bad. But if you study them with deep eyes, you uncover that they're in fact very, very good. Let's shift gears from it. Let's talk about Chodesh Av from a different perspective. Again, we've explained based on Sefer Yetzirah that the letter for the month of Av is the letter Tes. Let's go a different route for a second. What month, what number month is Chodesh Av? What number month is Chodesh Av? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Av is the fifth month. Av is the fifth month if we count from Nisan, which is how the Jewish calendar is structured according to the Torah. Okay, let's think about Lag BaOmer for a minute. There are 7 weeks of the Omer, right? This is the week of Hod. Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebahod. Okay, let's study that for a second. I put on the sheet this evening, so it doesn't frighten anyone, a little bit of a Kabbalistic drawing, okay, of the 10 spheros. What are the 10 spheros? Take a look at the picture for a moment. The 10 spheros are the 10 filters, for lack of a better word, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself in the world. Starting from Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. We normally divide them into three intellectual attributes of Hashem, sometimes called Keser, Chachma, and Bina, sometimes called Chabad, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and then seven emotional attributes of Hashem. And the 7 weeks of Svira correspond to the seven lower Sviros, which are Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. But this is how they're structured in any work of Kabbalah. What I mean, this is how they're structured. You can see there's a right column, there's a left column, and there's a middle column. The right side is the side, again, just looking towards the middle of the right side, is the side of Chesed. The left side is the side of Gvura. Gvura is Yira. So the right side is Chesed, the right side is Ava, the right side is, so to speak, the more positive, loving side, and the left side is Gvura, it's more associated with Midas Hadin, with Yira. This week is the, like I said, is the week of Hod, right? And Lag BaOmer, which we celebrated today, is Hod Shebahod. Let's try to understand this for a second. Yeah. Again, the first week of the Omer is the week of Chesed. The second week of the Omer is the week of Gvura. The third week is the middle Tiferes, then Netzach, and then the fifth week, where we are today, the fifth week of Sfira is Hod. That's as low as you can get on the left side. Everyone see the picture? Hod is as low as you can get on the left side. Which means in a certain sense, Hod is very, very deeply connected to what? To the side of Gvura, to Midas Hadin. That means if Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebahod, if you're looking, you know, we count Sefiras HaOmer every night, just look in the Arch Kol Siddur, right? Each night we're working on a different aspect of that week. So the week of Hod, the fifth day of this week, is Hod Shebahod. So that means Lag BaOmer is as low as you can get. It's as Midas Hadin as you can get. It's as low as you can get on the left side. Which makes it sound like Lag BaOmer is a terribly tragic day. And in a certain sense, if we've been compounding the Avelis up to this point, it is the worst day of Sfira. It's as bad as it's going to get. Before all of a sudden something happens on Lag BaOmer and we totally shift gears. That what started off to be so bad all of a sudden becomes so good. We take that name Elohim, going back to what we started with, that name which itself is Midas Hadin, God's name of judgment, and we transform it on Lag BaOmer into a name of kindness, to a name of mercy. Somehow Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, whose celebration is on Lag BaOmer, has this unbelievable ability to take something which is superficially so bad and to make it so good. By the way, you know whose yard site is on the fifth day of the fifth month? The fifth day of Chodesh Av. Right? Again, we're talking about a lot of different things here. We're talking about nines, we're talking about fives. Right? But now let's talk again. The fifth, we're saying five corresponds to Hod. Hod is as low as you can get in the left column. In some ways, that's like the lowest of the low. So you know whose yard set is on the fifth day of Chodesh Av, which we call Menachem Av, because we're so desperate for Nechama? The Arizal. The Arizal's yard set is the fifth of Av. When the Satmar Rebbe used to go to the Arizal's kever, not to tie everything together, when the Satmar Rebbe would go to the Arizal's kever on the 5th of Av, you know what song he used to sing there? He would sing Bar Yochai. Why? Because he understood that sometimes it's possible when you have a deep soul, like a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, or like an Arizal, you could take something which is superficially sinful and negative and lowly, and you could mahapich the whole thing. You could turn the whole thing around. You could bring out such a celebration from such brokenness, from such lowliness. There's a line from one of the tzaddikim, the base Aaron of Karlin. Rav Aaron of Karlin said Rav Aaron of Kalin said that kol sheyesh lo emuna b'Rashbi, whoever believes in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, yesh lo chizik b'Rashbi, gets strengthened by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And then he said an amazing thing. Listen to what he said. He said, just like God is for everyone, kashem, just as Hashem Yisbarach is for all, kach Rabbi Shimon lakol, Rabbi Shimon is for everyone, afilu lepachusim, even for the lowest Jews. Can anyone explain to me, in quotes, the cultural phenomenon of 500,000 Jews traveling to Meiron over the course of the last 24 hours? 500,000 plus. Half a million people. And they're not all people who are Kabbalists. They're not all people who have an obvious connection to the Tana Eloki, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that holy soul who transmitted on his deathbed at the end of his life the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. There are Jews who basically, you know, are not observant, are not shomer Torah or mitzvos, and they're drawn to that light. They're mamish sucked in to the or to the light of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. You know why? Because it's what the Beis Aaron said, sort of Aaron of Karlin said. Just like Hashem Yisbarach is for all, just like Hashem is big enough to have space for everyone, kach Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai lakol afil lepachusim. The lowest Jews feel that Rabbi Shimon has this unique ability to look at me in a positive way. Remember the story, the most famous story about Rishon Bar Yochai, the Gemara in Shabbos? The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Rishon Bar Yochai spent 12 years in a cave. He was running from the Roman government. He sat with his son, 12 years in the cave, learning Torah day and night. They came out of the cave, and they looked at the world. And what did they see? What was the terrible thing that they saw? They saw people going to work. They saw people plowing and planting. And Rishon Bar Yochai and his son looked at them, and they said, what is wrong with these Jews? These lowly Jews. Lowly Jews, what do you mean? Plowing and planting. How are they supposed to survive if they don't have food? What was their terrible crime? What did they see that was so terrible? They're throwing away a life of Olam Haba. For Chai Isha, they're involved in the mundane. The mundane? These were not Jews doing averos. They were Jews making a decent living. Proud Jews making a living. Rishon Bar Yochai was so focused on learning and davening, that was his whole life for the last 12 years, he couldn't understand how a person could do anything other than learning Torah and davening. And he and his son, the Gemara says, were burning things up with their eyes. They had such a tzaras ayin, such a negative view on anyone who was anything less than a tzaddik shabbat tzaddikim. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a basko comes out of the heavens, and a heavenly voice said to Rishon Bar Yochai and his son, did you leave the cave to destroy my world? Go back to your cave. They go back in for a 13th year. At the end of a 13th year, Rishon Bar Yochai and his son come out, and his son is still burning things up with his eyes. But the Gemara says everything that his son looked at and damaged, Rishon Bar Yochai looked at and he healed. What does that mean? He healed with his eyes. His whole perspective had changed. And he said to his son, it's enough to have some people who are on our level. Hashem has a lot of different types of Jews. So Rishon Bar Yochai becomes a paradigm of love of all Jews. To be able to see the good in everything. To take the same letter tes, which represents chet, which represents chorban, and to look at it deeply, 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 until tes becomes what? The very same letter that represents tov, that represents or, that represents inner light, holiness, right? And that's why, again, going back to the beginning of the Chumash, the fourth pasuk of the Chumash, Vayar Elokim Asor Ki Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw his original light, which was so pure and so holy. Hashem says, people are going to abuse that light. So Hashem hid it away for the future. Comes along a tzaddik like a Rishon Bar Yochai and he starts revealing that light again. He puts it out there for everyone. Afilu lepachusim. Rishon, what are you doing? How can you entrust such a holy light to such regular people? But Rishon Bar Yochai, after he left that cave, after that 13th year, his whole perspective changed. He saw the good. He believed in people. He had a tov ayin. He had an ability to heal people with his eyes in the holiest and purest of ways. What an amazing thing to take Hod Sheva Hod, the lowest point on the left column of the Sphiros chart, and to be able to mahapich it into something good. It's similar. It reminds me of an amazing comment that Rav Yaakov Emden has about Lag BaOmer. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in source number 10. I gave you the actual text in the not so easy to read print, and I typed it up on the left hand side in the box. Yud Ches Bo on the 18th day of Iyar, Sofrin Lamed Gimel. We count Lag BaOmer. Achshav HaMinag Pashut She'osin Yom Ze Yom Tov. And we make this day an amazing celebration. Lag BaOmer is an unbelievable simcha. And he writes in parentheses, Nirali, Mifnei She'kulo Din. You know why we make it such a joyous day? Because this day is a day that's entirely Midas Hadin. Hod Shebahod. It has such a negative, superficial connotation to it. But he says it's Kamo Beistin Shira'u Kulan Lechova. What does that mean? It's like a Beistin that finds the person on trial completely guilty. The Gemara says in source number 11, Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if every member of the Sanhedrin looks at a person and says, guilty, 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 an absolute unanimous verdict, guilty, you know what the halacha is? Or how about the pasuk in Chumash, in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel? A person who has a patch of tzaras is tamei. A person, kulo hafach lavan, if the whole thing is white, if he's mamish, you know, white, completely white, then he's tamei. So you're telling me what? A little tzaras is tamei, but entirely tzaras is tar. If some people think you're guilty, then you're guilty, but if everyone thinks you're guilty, then you're innocent. What's the pshat? Lag ba'omer, hod shebahod, the lowest of the low, the most guilty, the most negative day is the biggest celebration. But again, that's the eyes of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, I look at something and it's never the case that something which looks like it's kulo midas hadin, that it looks like it's entirely negative. There's no such thing. And if you see it that way, that itself reveals that you're seeing it in the wrong way. So if the entire basin, if the entire Sanhedrin says this guy is guilty, then by definition we have to say that he's innocent. We can't run a Torah system where we train ourselves to have such eyes that we've lost hope, that we've given up on a person to the point where the person's entirely guilty. This is the world view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to see the Tov. And again, that's why, again, going back to what we started with, the five letters of the Kabbalistic name of Lag Ba'Omer, the fourth letter corresponding to the fourth student of Rabbi Akiva is the letter Tes. The letter Tes, which superficially is such a negative letter, but in Pnimius is the essence of all that is good in this world. One of the lines that we sing in the song of Bar Yochai, in source 13, in the Piyut of Bar Yochai, we say, Bar Yochai, Moshav Tov Yashavta. Bar Yochai, you sat in such a good place. So I saw the Tolna Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, he asks in the Sefer on Lag Bomer and Shavuos, he says, such a good place, a dark cave. All he had to eat, the Gemara says, was carob and a little stream of water. Moshav Tov Yashavta. Okay, we understand spiritually it was a very spirit, right? But I don't know. Prime real estate, Moshav Tov, you know? Okay, now that it's Rishon Bar Yochai's cave, I'm sure if someone was selling it, it would go for a lot of money. Some big gvir would buy it for a lot of money. Right? But when he sat in there, it wasn't a Moshav Tov. He's hiding from Roman persecution, running for his life, trapped in a cave for 12 years, and then the 13th year. Right? What do you mean Moshav? The Tolna Rebbe said Moshav Tov Yashavta? What's so good about Rishon Bar Yochai's cave? But I thought you could explain, no, Moshav Tov Yashavta, it's not only talking about Rishon Bar Yochai's cave. Moshav Tov means the place where Rabbi Shimon dwelt, his place in the world, meaning his worldview was Tov, is the word Tov. That's his whole thing, the letter Tes. Vayar Elokim Asaor Ki Tov, the one who revealed the greatest or, the greatest secrets of Torah, the one whose candles and fires are lit all around the world in his honor. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the essence of the Tov. Moshav Tov Yashavta. That's where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lives. That's where he dwells. In a world of taking something which looks like chait and looks like lowliness, and he elevates it into something which is, again, kulo hafach lavan, tahor. He takes something which is completely tzaras and he makes it pure. And he finds the goodness within. The Zohar writes in the second to last source that when Hashem was creating the world, the various letters came before Hashem and argued, I want to be part of your Torah. Make the world using me. Take me to create the world. Listen in on this amazing conversation between Hashem and the letter Tes. Says the Zohar in the Hakdama on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Alas os Tes Amr Kameh. The letter Tes came up, it came before Hashem, and it said before God, Ribon Alma, Master of the World, Nicha Kamach Lemivri Bi Alma. I think it would be good for you to create the world with me. Tes said, I'm a good letter, you should use me. Da'ant Bi Iskarais Tov Yashar. Because I am the epitome of that which is good. Tes, Tov. That's the first time I'm going to appear in the Torah. Amar La, so Hashem says, Hashem, you know, strokes the cheek of the letter Tes and says, Shefala, let me tell you something. Lo ivri b'cha alma, I can't create this world with you. Dehatuvcha sosim b'gavach v'tzofun b'gavach. I can't create the world, this world I can't create with you because your goodness is hidden within you. Again, tuvcha sosim is concealed, begavach vitzafun begavach. Look at the letter test. Think about the letter test for 1 second, the way it's written in the Sefer Torah. Letter test has this curve, right? Letter test has its hand is like pointed in, as if to say there's something hiding inside. You have to look inside if you want to understand what's going on inside over here. Hadehu dechsev, this is what it says in Tehillim. Ma rav tuvcha asher tzafanta li reyecha. What a great thing, what a wonderful thing, a wondrous thing. The goodest of goods is what is hidden for those who what? Who fear you. Ho'il v'ganez v'gavach leis bechulka la'al mada da'ana boi l'mivrei. So therefore, this world, I can't create this world with the letter test. Hashem says, your goodness is not the type of goodness. This world's a complicated place. It's not so easy to see good in this world. I can't make this world with letter tests. Ela ba'alma da'ase. But the world to come, that's where the letter test is going to have a place. Rishum bar Yochai, Lag ba'omer is a taste of the world to come. It's a taste of the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light of creation. And therefore it continues HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Visu, and furthermore, the al de tuvach ganes begavach, since your goodness is hidden within you, it's not revealed, yitbu'un tare dehechala. Because it's sometimes hard to have the perspective of the letter test, to understand how good it is, therefore sometimes on the surface, test is associated with chorban, like we learned. The gates are going to sink, the gates of the hechal are going to be destroyed. Hadahu dichsiv, like we learned earlier, tovu ba'aretz sha'ara. The sinking of the gates of Yerushalayim. That's also the letter test. Visu, and furthermore, Daches l'kablach. The letter Ches is going to join you. Ches and Tes, right next to each other, neighbors. V'katis chabrun kachada. And when the two of you get together, Hachet, that creates sin. V'alda osvin olin lo rishimin b'shivtin kadishin. And therefore, your letters are not going to appear by the holy Shvatim. Seems like a major rejection of the letter test. Biyar nafkos mikamei. And therefore the letter test hung its head low and walked out from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, Hashem wasn't rejecting the letter test. Hashem was saying, letter test, you're too big for this world. You're too secretive for this world. You represent the Alma Da'ase, the world to come. And therefore, I want to conclude tonight's share. Because the last couple of weeks, we've been learning Pirkei Avos. So let's learn a statement from Rishon Bar Yochai. This Shabbos, we learn the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. And says Rishon Bar Yochai, in this week's Pirkei Avos, now we'll understand it in a deep way. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Ksarim. There are 3 crowns, and by the way, Rabbi Shimon has a connection to each of these crowns. There's a crown of Torah, there's a crown of Malchus, Keser Torah, Keser Kehuna, Keser Malchus. But says Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the student of Rabbi Akiva, who corresponds to the letter test and the secret name that the Arizal revealed to us about Lag BaOmer. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there's a Keser Torah, there's a Keser Kehuna, there's a Keser Malchus, v'Keser Shem Tov. But the Keser Shem Tov, a person who understands what it means to have a Shem Tov, and now we know what the word Tov is really about. A person who understands the essence of the letter Tess, and how Tov it really is, if you're willing to look deep, Ola Al Gabayim, that's greater, that's loftier than the crown of Torah, than the crown of Kahuna, than the crown of Malchus, which are each one is unbelievably chashuv in its own right. But there's a Keser Shem Tov, that's Ola Al Gabayim. I'll just conclude, how did we count Sefira Omer last night? It's Hod Shebahod, but how do we count it? How do we count it? We say we've completed 4 weeks and 5 days. Right? 4 plus 5, again, is 9. There's the test one more time. So, Ma'ra Tuvcha Sher Tzafan Teliri Echa. The secret of Lag Ba'omer and the secret of the letter test. The goodness of a Chodesh Av. Again, corresponds to the 5th month, which is the Midah of Hod. It has so much brokenness connected to it. But again, if a person studies it deeply, you understand that the same month of Av that brought about Chorban is a month that corresponds to Shevet Shimon, connecting to us to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the koach of Shmia, to be able to listen deeply. Sometimes you can't see it with your eyes, right? But you can continue to believe in it, that it's right around that corner, that goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. The letter test, the letter of the world to come. Atov chasosin begavach, v'tzafun begavach. And that was with the eyes of Rabbi Shimon, to see the good in people. He came out of the cave that first time, he couldn't see it. But he went back in for that 13th year. He came out and he was able to say, Gamzu l'tova. When I look at these Jews, when I see the Jews, I see the good in them. So Mirtz Hashem, we should believe in ourselves, we should see that good in ourselves, the way that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would want us to see us. And then Mirtz Hashem will be Zocha to uncover that goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us in the end of this. We'll daven Ma'ariv right now.